Whilst I would just like to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's the main topic this evening. Last Sunday, the lady looking after my nephew, you know, she was briefly looking after my nephew for a couple of weeks whilst my sister and I were away in a different country. As you well know, Monday is back to school for the kids. So this lady was looking for some school items. And my sister was saying, have a look there, have a look. You know, basically they turned the whole, about two or three rooms upside down. They couldn't find the school item that was missing. And, you know, they were thinking, maybe we have to go and to the shops early in the morning to buy it. Otherwise, my nephew will be sent back from school, you know, so it's an important school item. So whilst they were looking, I was thinking to myself, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit for help? And before, you know, so we were on WhatsApp call with the lady. And before I could tell the lady, she just began speaking in tongues. She began speaking in tongues. Can I tell you that within just over a minute, she located that item. And I was thinking, you know, God is so good. Yeah. You know, and the Holy Spirit is I don't think we make use of him enough at all. And I'm hoping that this lesson will open our eyes and open our ears and our vision to the possibilities of what the Holy Spirit can do. Because he is here on earth with us. Now, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, they are both in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is here on earth in each and every believer. So here goes, Psalm 33, verse 6. Psalm 33, verse 6, reading from the Passion Translation. It says of God, all he had to do was speak by his spirit wind command. And God created the heavenlies, filled the galaxies and stars, the vast cosmos he wonderfully made. Now, when God was about to create the earth, he said all he had to do was speak. But look at that. He said, by his spirit wind command. So he was releasing the Holy Spirit as soon as he spoke. When he said, let there be light, you know, it's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there in creation. So basically all that you see is actually with the help of the Holy Spirit. You had God the Father, you have Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, but the creative force also, the power, was the Holy Spirit, or is the Holy Spirit. You see that spirit wind, or in some translation it has breath. You see, that word breath is called, in Hebrew, it's called ruach. Ruach, R-U-A-C-H. And I'll just give you a definition of what ruach means. So ruach is it's a wind, it's spirit, it's life. It's not so much a physical force, but an essence, God's essence that sustains life. So basically, it's God's spirit. And you begin to see what this means as we go along. So if I go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This is how man was created. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathe. Now you see that word breathe again into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now if you look at that passage very carefully, what God did was he used the dust of the earth to form an image of man, and then he breathed into that image. Now as soon as he breathed, what took place? Immediately, that image had a heart, a pumping heart, liver, I don't know, is it two kidneys? And blood flowing through the veins. That's actually what took place. But this passage is just hiding everything that is in is the nostrils. But you see that life-giving force that happened with the Ruach, with the Holy Spirit going into man. You see, everything just became alive, you see. And that's how divine healing takes place sometimes. Because the person who created us, who gave us the heart and the lung and the kidneys, is actually the Holy Spirit. So he is also active in divine healing. You know, whenever we have anything defective in our bodies, all we need to do is ask him for help. Ask him for health. Ask him, you know, to bring about a solution in our situation. So I want to put it to you that when you see the breath of God in the Bible, it's the Holy Spirit actually, you know, involved, you know, because the Holy Spirit is, you know, it's not someone you can see. It's actually a spirit. And a spirit, as you well know, is not visible to the naked eye. So the Holy Spirit sustains life. He sustains life. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 34 and 35, you see what happened here. It says, Luke chapter 2, verse 34 to 35, I think. What about 35? What I'm trying to bring out there is a story of Angel Gabriel visiting Mary. Let's try Luke 1, 34 and 35. But basically, the angel visited Mary and said that she will conceive, a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Mary was a bit puzzled and said, how can this be? And the angel was explaining that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and so on. But what happened was that the Holy Spirit, all he had to do was came into Mary and, you know, left Jesus there, basically. That's how I can explain it. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit is, you know, he gives life. You see, it's a miracle in itself. But I can begin to see what the Holy Spirit does, because after all, someone who created the universe, it's not difficult to make a virgin to give birth. You know, so it's that force that just made Mary become pregnant with Jesus. So you can see how creative the Holy Spirit was doing, you know, first of all, when man was created, he gave us the heart and everything that we need to be alive. And then, if you look at the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though, now that first sentence there says, Christ lives his life in you. Now I can't see Christ in you, but the Holy Spirit lives in us as well. So, and then it says, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you, because you are fully accepted by God. You see? And then he says, yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Now, when Christ died, you know, we've just celebrated Easter, early, was it last month? I've lost track of time now. But we celebrated Easter, and Jesus Christ went to the grave on Good Friday, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. The person who actually did the raising was the Holy Spirit, and gave Jesus Christ a new body, a brand new body, a body that can disappear, body that can enter a room even though the doors are locked. But it's interesting to note that it didn't change certain aspects of the body. So for instance, the hands, they still had the piercing of the nails. You know, I think that's for a purpose, because when I was reading, the Lord opened my eyes to that in particular, and that's in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14 to 16, it says, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." Sometimes that's what we feel, isn't it? You see? Then it says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." You see? So God has, in fact, another translation says, "I have engraved you on the palms of my hand." You see, Jesus Christ, even when we meet him, we will see that print, because he says, "I died for these people." He knew what it took to be separated from God, first and foremost, to suffer like a common criminal, to be stripped naked, beaten, black and blue. Don't forget that when Jesus Christ died, his body was mangled. He was thoroughly beaten by the Roman soldiers. So that's why the Holy Spirit had to give him a new body. But with those hands, whenever he looks at his hands, you know, you always look at your hands. And he would say, "I can't let that person go, even though he's strayed away from the gospel. I need to find a way to get him back, because I died for these people." So never say God has forgotten you. You know, sometimes we are in that place, maybe a situation out of our control has happened, or something has happened that's just, you know, make you question God, that, you know, you've prayed and you've pleaded with God, but it seems as if God is not answering, that God has forgotten you. But God is saying that he has engraved you on the palm of his hands. You know, he's got the nail-pierced hands, and he's always thinking of you, because he's constantly, you know, as far as he's concerned, we are always in his thoughts. You know, we are always in the thoughts of Christ. So that's one thing that we need to take away from that. Because, you know, when you have a brand new body, it reminds me of one of my favorite films, Terminator. I don't know whether you've watched Terminator 2 and so on. You see how people walk through fire or something. Yeah, that's the brand new body that the Holy Spirit gave to Jesus. And, you know, I wasn't surprised that many people didn't recognize Jesus. You know, some people, they were thinking, "No, this can't be Jesus," because I think his appearance must have changed a little bit. That's why they were doubting. But they could tell the voice. But in another instance, when he was walking with the two disciples to Emmaus, is it Emmaus? Yes. They couldn't tell the voice. So sometimes you can even change the way you speak, you know, so that people cannot tell who you are. You see, that's what, you know, the Holy Spirit did. He took that mangled body and gave Christ a new body, a glorious body. And that gives us hope that Christ will also, through the Holy Spirit, give us a new body, a resurrection body for every believer, anyone that believes in him. So that's always reassuring. So that's one of the parts that the Holy Spirit, played by raising Christ from the dead. And then, finally, there's a passage here in John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And this concerns us as well. So John chapter 20, verse 19 to 22. It says, this was Jesus Christ when he was about to depart from the disciples. He said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. You see, he had to show them the hands, that this is really me. And then in verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Notice that word, breathe on them. And said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, in this passage, when I looked at the word breathe, in the Greek word used is called emphysao. Ruach is Hebrew actually, but the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. So the Greek word used in that passage of breathe is called emphysao, E-M-P-H-Y-S-A-O. And what it means is to blow, to puff on someone. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? So someone near you and you, so that's the word breathe on. Now notice what happened, that in the first breathing in Genesis, God breathed on an image and it came to life. This time around, Jesus breathed on his disciples or the first Christians. Now, it's not that they were dead, they were living, but what happened was there was another transformation. So what happened was he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So people who have the Holy Spirit, they don't have their Adamic nature. I'm sure you know that. We know that by now. You see, we are now a new species. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." You see, that second breath, it made a difference. You know, it separated, you know, people who have now transformed into a new species. Even though our faces are the same, we haven't changed, our noses are not longer or something. But what has happened is there's another spiritual birth, a spiritual rebirth, you know, so that we can now fellowship with God. We can now, you know, approach God. And God, you know, the way God sees you is not how we see ourselves sometimes, or the way we see fellow Christians. God sees us differently now because he sees a new creation. We are now his children. We have been adopted into his family. That's why he's anyone who has that second birth. You can't, it's like anyone who has that second birth, you can't unbirth yourself, if you know what I mean. Yeah? So it's a different life that we have to live now. But because we have not been, you know, just like a baby, we have to learn how to behave, what to do, how to say thank you, that sort of thing. That's how you teach a baby, right? So in the new kingdom of God, we need to come to church to hear about how we need to conduct ourselves in the kingdom of God, what we need to do, how we need to operate, how we need to trust God for certain things. You see, that's why we come to church. It's basically to learn how to live in this kingdom. One thing I didn't mention about earlier was that because the Holy Spirit created us, you know, he created the heart, the lung, and the kidneys, and so on. What we should be doing as believers, if we want to enjoy good health, is to be speaking the word of God into our lives. Because Jesus, I believe in John chapter 6, verse I think either 50 something, he says that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. You see, if the spirit created something, I believe that the way to sustain it is to confess the word of God. So the fact that your head aches, don't say it, just begin to confess what God will say in that situation. That's why Jesus Christ, sometimes when something happens, he will say, don't fear. You know, he will say something contrary to that situation. And that doesn't make any sense to you and I. But that's how Jesus lives in that kingdom. So he's our example, and he's expecting us to begin to act in that way. You see? So basically, we are all students. No matter how old in the kingdom of God, we are still learning. You know, no one is perfect yet. And no one can say, I've finally arrived. You know, we are on a journey, just like the Israelites were on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. And that's the way we will go throughout our lives. So the Holy Spirit is very important. It's very important. You know, you can see his work right from the beginning in the garden, you know, even not only in the garden, even in creation. You can see that with, you know, in Genesis, I believe chapter 1, it says the Spirit of God was hovering. And when God said, let there be, what happened was that there was something. Let there be light. There was light. But the person who was actually, or the force that was actually creating that, was the Holy Spirit. And then in Genesis chapter 2, when God created man and he breathed into man, the Holy Spirit was the one who created that energy for man to come alive, you see. And then when Christ died, you know, the Holy Spirit was involved in raising him from the dead. And it says, I believe in one of the epistles of Paul, that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you see, it's the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead. You know, so any dead situation in our lives, what we should be doing is speaking the word of God into that situation. What do I mean by dead situation? Things which under any circumstances it cannot happen. You know, we begin to speak the word of God into it. You know, I've seen many testimonies in my life where God has actually done, a great turnaround of, hopeless situations. You know, and I've had so many testimonies as well. So this tonight, I just want to encourage us that we need to take advantage or make the most of the Holy Spirit. He is the Godhead. He's here on earth with us. And, you know, someone actually described the Holy Spirit as a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you, you know. It reminds me of someone, one of my classmates. He hardly speaks whenever he comes to class. Sometimes people don't even notice him. And something is almost similar to the Holy Spirit because he's so quiet, so gentle. Sometimes many people ignore him. But the Holy Spirit is a force that God wants to see released in our lives. So Minister Terry was mentioning about evangelism. You know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, he makes a difference. I mean, there's many, many times we've come back with testimonies of what God has done in the lives of people who heard the gospel in the streets of Farnham. So the Holy Spirit, we should be making the most of him whenever we go out. Even when we wake every day, it's got to be an everyday thing because it's the Spirit that gives life. You see, the Spirit makes the difference in us serving God. God doesn't want you to serve him with your intellect, with your flesh, with your know-how, with your smartness, with your capabilities. That's not God's intention. Otherwise, you start to boast that, I really did that for God. I should be thanked. That's not going to happen. Yeah, that is not going to happen. God expects us to use the Holy Spirit to worship him. That's the only acceptable activity that God wants from us. We should be using the Holy Spirit so that we are grateful to God that God has enabled you to achieve certain things for his kingdom. So tonight, I just want to encourage you that as believers, we need to make sure that we get acquainted with God's Spirit, because it's not just when we've lost things. You know, I remembered when I lost my wedding ring at one time. I looked everywhere for it. I couldn't find it, you know. And when I just asked the Holy Spirit for help, you know, although it took about half a day, so the mind is a bit different. I found it in the most unlikeliest place. You know, I looked everywhere for it. I couldn't find, it was just, but the most unlikeliest place, the fact that I looked there, I know that it wasn't me, because I would never think that I didn't even put it there. Basically, what happened was I put it by the table, and obviously I move around when I sleep. And during the night, I heard something drop. Now, when something drops, it drops on the floor, right? But it didn't drop on the floor. It dropped under the bed. So basically, that was it. So I've looked everywhere on the floor. I couldn't find it. How can you check under the bed if something drops from a table? So that's it. But the Holy Spirit helped in that situation. And it just shows you that it can do more than that. No, that's just a trivial, it's not trivial to me, but that's a small thing. But the Holy Spirit wants to do more in our lives, and He's waiting on us to call upon Him. Even Jesus Christ, when He was here on earth, He relied on the Spirit. All the time, He relied on the Spirit. He was constantly telling the people, that anything is possible. Even that statement in itself, when God says, anything is possible for the one who believes, that statement in itself is scary, isn't it? Because He's daring us to dream of impossibilities. But it takes the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom so that you achieve even the impossible, what you thought, or what other people, thought that this is it, this can't be done. But you begin to see the Holy Spirit achieving it in your life. And people will say, this person is a great man of God. But no, that's not true. It's because that person is counting on the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is making a difference in their lives. But I believe that God wants to make a difference in our lives. But as believers, let's yield our lives to Him. Let's yield our lives to Him. The Holy Spirit is not hard. It's not a mysterious force. It's a regular, it's a regular person, He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to reveal more of Jesus to us. He wants to make a difference in our lives. And I'm trusting that this message will help us, to renew our friendship, to renew our relationship with the Spirit of God. May God bless His word, and may He give us the grace to put all the things that we've learned tonight into action in our lives. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.